Today on the Becoming a Great Dad podcast, we're going to talk about creating meaningful family traditions and why they're beneficial to having a strong family unit. How's everybody doing out there in podcast land? Welcome to another episode of Becoming a Great Dad. We are back. I'm your host, Chris Bodie. And today we're going to be talking about the importance of establishing family traditions, the benefits of them and why they're so important, how you can make your own, and three types of traditions your family should have. And I'm going to also add a secret bonus tradition in there that should be interesting to talk about. Now, before I start, let me let you in on a little secret. I am actually recording this podcast on my own family tradition, right? So every year, my boys and I, my two sons, we take a father and son camping trip, right? This year is our ninth annual camping trip. I've actually been doing this, for 9 years now since Chris was five. He's now 14. And then Tato is now seven. So he's been going on the camping trips with us for several years now. But the boys are asleep in the tent. I'm actually sitting in the car because the mosquitoes are horrible outside. But we are in, and I may get this name wrong, Villa Platte, Louisiana. It's about 3 hours away from New Orleans. And we're at Chi-Cot State Park. And, we came out here for a 4-day camping trip. Today is Saturday night. So we came out here, Thursday morning. And we've been, out here all day Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We're going to be leaving Sunday and getting back home. And when I talk to people about this trip, it stirs a lot of intrigue because people are like, oh, you guys are going camping and you get in a nice cabin. I'm like, no. We go camping, right? We go like backcountry in the woods, in a tent, cooking our own meals, bunch of manly stuff, hiking, canoeing, grilling meat, burping, telling jokes, all that good stuff, right? And there's no internet, right? There's no technology. There's no devices of any kind. I literally only took my handheld recorder that I normally record podcasts in. And that's it, you can bring books to read and you can bring stuff to kind of do, but I really like to fill the day with just good old fashioned bonding time with my sons. And I thought, what better way to talk about on the podcast family traditions while I am literally in the middle of one, right? So that kind of made a sink into today's traditions. And throughout the podcast, I'm going to kind of use, the camping tradition and kind of use parts of that to kind of talk about the importance of traditions and the benefits that we get out of it. So first, let's start off with kind of the basics. Y'all know I always like to define on the podcast what we're talking about. So what is a tradition and what is a family tradition? Well, I tried to put a bunch of different definitions together to really make it stick. And here's what I came up with, okay? A tradition is a set of behaviors or actions that, you and your family kind of engage in, again and again. It may be rituals that you guys perform. It may be the, things you do at the same time or the same time of year. And traditions don't have to be a big hoopla, right? They can be very small things that you do, but they differ from kind of, like your day-to-day routines and habits because traditions have a very specific purpose in mind. And I found in kind of researching traditions that they have to require two things, thought, and they also have to inquire intentionality. So why are traditions so important for a family? And I can tell you, my family, just my family coming up as a kid, we have a bunch of traditions. And then, when I started my family and now that I have kids, we have our own traditions. So I understand the importance of it, but I really wanted to give thought and give some time or Why are the things we do together as a family, why are they important? Like, why are those traditions, and it could be around the holidays, it could be, you know, whatever your family does, from wherever your background is, why are they important? So I got a couple things to talk about. Why are traditions important for our families? The first is that they provide a sense of identity. So traditions and rituals, they often tell a story about a family, right? So on a macro level, traditions can actually teach children about, for example, where their family came from, and it can give them some insight into their culture and heritage. I give a great example. A friend of mine is Mexican, and he told me that on Christmas Eve, him and his family get together and they eat tamales. So, you know, that is kind of their own tradition, and it kind of speaks to their Mexican heritage. Traditions can also kind of, in my, you know, mind, play an important role of shaping a child's personality. And I looked this up to kind of, you know, get an exact, not definition, but to kind of dig deep into it more. I found a psychologist by the name of Marshall Duke, and he did a study and talked about how children who have intimate knowledge of their family history, when they become adults, they're more well-adjusted, they're more self-confident than children who don't have that understanding. So part of the importance of traditions is just having a source of identity, knowing about your past, knowing where you came from. That's going to inherently instill confidence in children. That also can strengthen your family bond. So a lot of research that I have read through, it consistently talks about that families that engage in frequent, you know, traditions have a stronger connection and a stronger unity than families that really don't have traditions or don't have rituals together. It can also offer comfort and security. So in a fast-paced world, traditions, and I didn't even realize this, can be actually comforting to kids, right? If you think about, you know, changing schools, changing houses, you know, times of grief, having things that always happen, like, for example, if you have, you know, I don't know, if you have a movie night or pizza night that you do weekly, right? That is something comforting that always happens. I know one thing that happened to us that was kind of, I would say, a change was that, you know, when we were looking for our house, we had to stay with my sister-in-law, and it was the five of us, right? It was me, Toya, Heaven, Chris, and Emmanuel, and Toya was pregnant. We stayed at my sister-in-law's house and her husband's house for, I think, 3 or 4 months. And so just the tradition of, like, and we kind of have this, and it's unintentional, but the kids kind of all congregate in one room around us, right? And I mean, even if it's like 5 or 10 minutes, we kind of joke and laugh and talk about stuff. And again, that was something that offered a bit of comfort and security in a time of just real big change. We were looking for a house. We had to move out of our house. We had to stay with my sister-in-law for a while. And that was a huge change for us and the kids. So just having that small tradition helped a lot. They can also teach values. So one of the main purposes that I found for rituals is that they impart and they reinforce values, right? And the same goes with family traditions. So for example, with the camping trip, right? Each year that we go out on the camping trip, I try my best to teach the boys a new skill set. So I'll give you an example. This year, the skill set that I wanted to teach them was how to use a compass, how to use it to navigate on a map, how to use it to find your bearing, right? So like that was the skill set that I taught them this year. I also wanted Chris to do all the cooking, right? And I'll kind of talk about why later. And for Emmanuel, I wanted him to learn how to build a fire. Now, these may seem like, you know, very outdoorsy and simple tasks, but there's a lot of backdrop into why I'm trying to teach this. And when we think about enforcing values, right? Chris being able to cook the food himself, a 14-year-old never really cooking for himself, right? I'm trying to teach him the value of empowerment. Like, oh wait, I can make my own food and cook it for myself, right? For Emmanuel, teaching him how to build a fire from scratch. This is a 7-year-old that is accustomed to Wi-Fi, iPads, internet. He turns the stove on, fire is there. So to teach him how to be resourceful and build his own fire, that is a value that will come up later on in life. And then when we talk about using a compass, we talk about the value of problem solving, of navigating, of finding your way in life. So, you know, this tradition that we have on the surface to the kids, it's fun. They get to be out of school. They get to get away. As a dad, I'm trying to secretly teach them life skills while we do this fun camping stuff. And then the other thing is that traditions can be important because they can connect generations. Now, my family, and this is on my mom's side, we have a tradition that has been going on for many, many years. Back in 1976, my great-grandmother at the time used to take the family to Midnight Mass. And if you're not Catholic, that's a very Catholic tradition. Midnight Mass is where on Christmas Eve, right, you would actually go to church at midnight. And it was kind of, let me tell you something. Nobody ever explained to me why we went to church that late. But I'm just going to guess that we went to church that late because it's Christmas Eve, baby Jesus is being born, and we're going to celebrate, right? But as you can imagine, right, you are having to drag your family and your young children to church at midnight, right? Who does that, okay? And so my great-grandmother came up with, I think, the brilliant idea of that evening to kind of keep the kids up and engaged before Midnight Mass. She made, on Christmas Eve, evening and night, homemade cinnamon rolls. And she made homemade cinnamon rolls, and also she made hot cocoa. And so, you know, that tradition, now I never knew my great-grandmother, I never met her before, but 44 years later, my children, which would be her great-great-grandchildren, still participate in that family tradition. So the rituals and the traditions like that can actually connect people and generations over a long span of time. Now, I want you to just do a little, mental visualization for me, okay? We're gonna play a little game here. I want you to close your eyes, all right? Just close your eyes. Just listen to my voice and close your eyes. And I want you to go ahead and I want you to think back to a family tradition. Could be big, could be small, whatever the case is. You know, it could be Christmas morning. Could be the first day of school. Could it be the beginning of summer? Maybe it's an experience you had with your siblings and your cousins. I want you to go back to that thought and I want you to think about it in vivid detail. Hold on to it. I want you to see the visual in your mind. Do you have it? Okay, good. Good, good. Now, I want you to remember the smells, the people, the sounds. I want you to remember how warm you felt in that moment. I want you to remember how happy that made you feel, how secure you were in that moment. Now, I can talk about traditions all day long, but I found that to best understand why they're important, we really have to put ourselves back in that memory and back in that moment. Keep your eyes closed still. I'm actually going to take you back. And yeah, my eyes are closed as well with you. I'm going to take you back to the memory that I thought of. And it's the image that popped in my head. And that's October 31st, 1992. At the time, I would have been 9 years old. My mom always made holidays special, and Halloween was an event for us. I mean, we did cupcakes, we bobbed for apples, we carved pumpkins, we dressed up the whole nine. And this was before my two younger brothers, so it was actually myself and my younger cousin, Mandy, who was always at my house, and we enjoyed all kind of fun times. So let's go back and let's listen to that time.
Dracula. Let me see. Wait, Chris, let me get a close-up shot. Do not go for the apples yet. He's supposed to have blood on his mouth, but I don't see it. Where's your sword?
Just ready to go.
Ready? Go. You got it?
Hold this for me, man.
What? Chris, you can't be, but what you doing?
Oh, I'm getting it.
Are you putting your teeth in them?
Yes.
But what that means that you're going to have to eat them.
Okay.
You're not just going to waste apples.
Big shout out to my mom for always, making some really great memories from my childhood and really, really creating really good and strong family traditions. And so let's talk about that. Let's talk about how do I create family traditions for my family? And I'm going to use my own personal experience. This is stuff that, things I did right and wrong in making family traditions. And I'll tell you how you can make yours. And the first one is you got to find a purpose and you got to make it personal. And I'll go back to the camping trip that we're on, right now. The purpose of the camping trip, I remember when Chris was young. And I looked at him and he was just, so busy into school and technology and video games. And I said, I want to have a moment where it's just him and I. I want to get away from, all the hustle and bustle and people. And I just want to have some dedicated alone time with my son so we can laugh and play and not worry and not have a care in the world. That was my purpose for the camping trip. And I made it personal because I really was intentional about, we didn't just go on a trip, and camp. I really wanted to every year teach him some life skills, whether it was how to pitch a tent or how to build a shelter or how to build your own fire or how to navigate in the woods or how to be resourceful. I wanted to make it personal because when he's older, and when he's an adult, I want him to go, wow, I didn't realize, but my dad actually used that time on the camping trip to teach me how to be a man, how to navigate life. And he taught me all these personal life skills. I also found that if you want to create good family traditions, you have to incorporate traditions from your childhood, but then also focus on making your own with your new family. Right. You don't want to, you don't want all your traditions that your children do to be things that you did previously, because those are your traditions and they may not, they may not be, they may not have a connection to them. You also have to consider that when you get married, your spouse has their own traditions, So like what happens, for example, this is common. Let's say your family, opened up, let's say, one gift on Christmas Eve, okay? And let's say your wife or your husband, they open up all the gifts the next morning. Well, which tradition wins out. You know, what should we do? One thing I encourage dads and people is to create your own tradition with your own kids and your own family, right? For example, one that we do around Christmas, and it's super simple and it's corny, but it's cute. Years and years ago, and I think this happened from our very first Christmas together, Toya found this pickle, and we called it the Christmas pickle, and it's like a Christmas ornament, and the morning of Christmas, she places the Christmas pickle in the tree, and the first kid to find the Christmas pickle gets to open up their gift first, right? So that's like a little silly tradition we have, but again, it's our family tradition that we have with our kids, and that makes it special for them and for us. Now, here's another one that people don't talk about often, but I found that it's needed. You got to be able to eliminate traditions when needed. You know, families have seasons, and traditions that, for example, worked when your kids were toddlers, they may not resonate with them when they're teenagers, right? Or vice versa. Also, you may have some traditions you want to start now, but it may be better to wait until they get older, like, you know, being entitled or very young. So, and I'm going to take Bina, for example, because she's the youngest. You know, there's stuff that, you know, I might want to do with Bina that I can't do right now because she's two. And because of her age and size and stamina, it would just be too much, you know? But you definitely want to try your best to create long-lasting traditions. But you don't want to force. You don't want to force a continuance of a tradition just because it's a family tradition, right? You got to ask yourself, is this creating more stress than joy? And I'm going to give an example, and I'm talking about New Year's, right? And this example is perfect for the elimination example, but then it's also perfect for the incorporate your own, you know, traditions, but maybe not always do your own family one. So like, for example, so New Year's Eve, so I'm going to back up for a second so we get a full picture. So December for my family, and I'm saying like my, as in like my mother's side of the family, is super busy, right? Because for example, we spend November, Thanksgiving, together, and then we turn right around and my mother has a cookie exchange. Then personally in the house, we have Chris's birthday, December 10th. And then we have Christmas, December 25th. And then we have Emmanuel's birthday on the 26th. So in December, we are like, you know, holidayed out, you know, and so my family had a tradition where when my grandfather was alive, we would then also meet up at my grandfather's house for his birthday, which is December 31st, and celebrate his birthday and also New Year's Eve together. That's a lot, y'all. That's about, in a span of 5 weeks, I'm seeing my family, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. Okay. And that's, you know, a lot. So what, you know, what we eliminated was, hey, we're not really going to do New Year's Eve party with my grandfather. And also he passed away and they kind of kept the tradition just to get together. But what we do is that we have New Year's Eve at our church. Our church has a New Year's Eve gathering. And it's like a kind of fun, festive kind of thing that the kids and I and Toya go to every year. They have food, they have games, and we ring in the new year together. And when New Year comes, the families get together and we pray together. And that's been a very cool tradition that, you know, we've eliminated one tradition, but again, we've also created our own tradition for the new family. And then the last thing is, don't go overboard, right? I mean, there's a temptation, and especially, you know, with dads, we want to be great dads. We have great memories, right? And when you start a new family or get a new child, you want to just come up with all these grand traditions. And like I talked about in December, you could really have what's called tradition fatigue, right? And we sometimes get that in the fall time. You want to know your family, and you want to find traditions that are going to be organic and that are going to flow for the type of people and the ages. So don't try to go overboard. You got to have a good balance, but you can only have a good balance if you know your family and understand what they can and cannot handle. So here's this podcast actions item. I want you to take a look at your own family traditions, and I want you to ask yourself, are they meaningful? Are they personal? Do they connect your family, or are they a drain on your family? Do I at least have a daily, a weekly, monthly, and an annual tradition? If not, what can I incorporate organically into my family that will strengthen our bond? Again, we're trying to find ways to strengthen that bond and also connect and bring us as a family closer. And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hi, my name is Chris Bodie, and I'm your host on Becoming a Great Dad podcast. I'm so excited to announce our new merchandise line called the Great Dad Society. The Great Dad Society is a signature collection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, hats, mugs, and more. And this is all made for dads. This is apparel that any father would love to have, and it makes a great gift for the dad in your life. Feel free to check it out on my site, chrisabody.com/store. That's chrisabody.com/store. Again, that's the Great Dad Society collection. Check it out today.
Well, we've come to the end of the podcast. And before I close off, I want to just give a big shout out, a big thank you to all the listeners. We have actually hit a major milestone. We have over 1,000 listens so far on the podcast. So thank you for your support. You know, sometimes I look at the stats and I don't think they're real. I think, yeah, there's somebody listening to it. But I actually got, and this happened recently, I want to share a voice memo that I got on the podcast from one of our listeners. He's a dad in South Africa. Now, let me just say this for a second. I'm from New Orleans, right? I may mispronounce your name. I'm going to try my best, right? His name is Lavella Sado, I think. All right. Sado, I hope I pronounced your name correctly. If not, feel free to correct me. But I want to just play his voice memo. He left me a voice memo a couple weeks ago about his appreciation for the podcast. So here it goes.
Yo, Chris, I love your show, bro. And I just want to say there's some things that personally I've asked myself and I've never got answers to. And with your show, as a father right now, I could see clearly that there are things that as a child, when I was growing up, I could know that they're wrong, but I couldn't tell my parents because I felt like they knew everything about life. And you know, when you're growing up with parents, right? The parents are basically your North Star, but sometimes they could like derail you from what you think is right and wrong. So the show is very empowering. I wish more of South African fathers could act.
So look, Sado, man, wherever you are at in South Africa, let me just say that voice memo came at the right time. You know, doing this podcast is tough on my schedule, tough on me. I'm trying to find great topics to talk about and really bring value to dad's life. Sometimes it gets hard and difficult, but hearing that really brightened my day, and it kind of really gave me the energy to push forward. So thank you again. Thank you for listening. I hope You continue to listen. I hope, you know, this podcast not only brings blessings to you as a dad, but to your entire family. And if you want to leave a podcast, I'm sorry, if you want to leave a voice memo like he did, if you have a follow-up question or a comment, or if you want to be a guest on the show, right? I know I haven't had a lot of guests on the show, but I want to try to start doing that. Let me tell you the two ways you can get in touch with us on the podcast. One, if you take out your cell phone right now and download the Anchor app, that's A-N-C-H-O-R. You can download the Anchor app on your mobile device. Once you download it, search for Becoming a Great Dad. Click on the cover art and you're going to see a button in the top right corner that says voice memo. You can leave a 60-second voice clip, or you can visit becomingagreatdad.com and leave me a comment under one of the posts. I will definitely respond back to you either on the site. But look, give me your feedback. If you got questions, if you want to be a guest, feel free to reach out. I've got a bunch of content. I would love to talk to you, and I'd love to bring other dads on the show. All right, y'all, that is all I got. Again, like I always say, thank you. I am sitting in the car. It's a little hot. It's late at night. The boys are in the tent sleeping. I'm going to go back in the tent and just kind of enjoy this last cool night. The temperature dropped, so it's a nice balmy about 60, 55 degrees outside. But in the tent, it feels nice and good. We got sleeping bags. We got snacks. We just had a bonfire that just kind of went out. So I'm going to go back with them and finish having a good camping trip. Until next time, see y'all later.